Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning from me and Justin. We are here for Turning Towards Life. This is a third space podcast slash live broadcast. And as usual, as always, in fact, we are really happy to be here. Happy to be here because this feels ever more important as our world shifts and changes. And we love to find a way of being in conversation about things that really matter in amongst a world that feels increasingly confusing and where the boundaries are all changing. So you are very welcome here with us, and we will foray into wherever we find ourselves with the conversation that emerges from this beautiful poem by Dhanusha Lamaris that Justin has chosen for us this week. And thank you for listening. Whether you're listening live, you might be on Facebook, please be in the comments and say whatever you feel and make friends with each other in the group. And if you are listening later, hello, and thank you for being here with us, even though you're listening at a different time. The good thing is about this is that time doesn't really matter. So whenever you're listening is absolutely perfect. And please keep remembering that you can delve back into the bank of different topics that we've spoken about, different poems, different sources on our website, which is turningtowards.life. You can always find the sources and always find other things, other episodes that might be of interest to you or the people that you're with. So I think that's my welcome for everyone, Justin.
Thanks, Lizzie. Well, my welcome too. You wrote this lovely thing for the Third Space newsletter last week, Lizzie, about how you can search for things on the turningtowards.life website. And I think that's actually one of the coolest things is to know that there are now, I think this is our 167nd conversation, and that you can go to that website and type in a topic or something that you're interested in, and doubtless many, many things will come up. Both the poems and sources that we've used and the conversations, if you wish them. And you're so welcome to do that and to share them with people. We know that many people benefit from being introduced to this. So yeah, really a giant welcome to everyone. And we're going to begin, as we always do, by both reading the source that we've chosen for this week. And I'll say here now, in case you happen to be listening to this 162nd or whatever it is conversation, some months into the future, that we're having this conversation on the eve of the UK, where both Lizzie and I are going into a period of very tight restrictions, which have come about by the coronavirus. And I can feel how easy it is in these times when there's so much at stake and so much pressure on so many of us, how easy it is to get flipped out of being in relationship with one another. And so I'm very grateful, Lizzie, that you and I get, we have this weekly practice of talking in this way, of being in conversation. And I also know that we're running two of our year-long professional coaching courses at Third Space at the moment. Quite some number of people who are participating in those have also taken up practices of being in regular, planned conversation with others where it's possible just to be in contact and to talk and to be listened to. And we also have this Third Space thing on a Wednesday night, UK time, called Turning Towards One Another, where you can turn up on Zoom and just speak and be listened to. And I can feel how important that is in these times, that we have places that we can make, sometimes we can make them for ourselves, where we know that what will happen is we will really fully, roundly get listened to without anybody else trying to fix us or change us. And we'll just meet us in the middle of what we're in the midst of. And this poem that we're about to read and this whole practice is that. Very special to be part of it. So this poem is called Small Kindnesses by Dhanusha Lamaris. I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by, or how strangers still say bless you when someone sneezes, a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we are saying. And sometimes when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly, we don't want to harm each other. We wanted to be handed our cup of coffee hot and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them and for them to smile back. For the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, and for the driver in the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire, only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy, these fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat, go ahead, you first. I like your hat.
I've been thinking about the way when you walk down a crowded aisle, people pull in their legs to let you by. Or how strangers still say bless you when someone sneezes, a leftover from the bubonic plague. Don't die, we are saying. And sometimes when you spill lemons from your grocery bag, someone else will help you pick them up. Mostly we don't want to harm each other. We want to be handed our cup of tea hot and to say thank you to the person handing it, to smile at them and for them to smile back. For the waitress to call us honey when she sets down the bowl of clam chowder, and for the driver in the red pickup truck to let us pass. We have so little of each other now, so far from tribe and fire. Only these brief moments of exchange. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy, these fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first. I like your hat.
And see, I found myself really touched in a way that I hadn't expected. Hearing you read these last three lines. What if they are the true dwelling of the holy, these fleeting temples we make together when we say, here, have my seat. Go ahead, you first, or I like your hat. It ties into something that you and I have spoken about many, many times before about, seems to me, about what happens in the in-between of us. When one consciousness meets another, when one person meets another, and we allow ourselves to extend proper care and dignity towards the other that is another life. Mm. But it's not just the act of kindness of saying to one another, here, have my seat, which is the kind of simple, the simple way of talking about it is that that's a polite or a decent or a kind way to go. Of course it is. Like that we would take care of one another. But what I'm really caught by here and interested in is what we make together when we say that. So in the moment that somebody else, it's a long time since I've done this because of the pandemic, but you know, when you've got a heavy bag and you're making your way down the tight aisle of a crowded train carriage or something. Mm. And when people look up and see you coming and move their feet or their bags to make room, there's a moment in which we see one another like the living, the rich, living, varied consciousnesses that we are, but also where we make contact and something momentarily arises between us that comes from the kindness that we show with one another. Mm. And I was thinking as you were reading about all the things I got taught about being polite, and how they miss that. That's a sort of behaviorist way of coming at it. Well, you should always say thank you. But what they miss is these amazing words from Dinesh Lemaire's. What if those are the places where the holy, that which is most sacred, dwells? Is he in the in-between that we form every time we see another person as mm-hmm. a person, every time we see another consciousness as a consciousness, and we relate to them with the dignity that that's called for and with the sense of mutual sacredness that is in both of us, something very, very ordinary gets shown for what it is. And consequently, and I think this is something I'm feeling interested in, maybe we'll get to later in our conversation, when we don't find that in ourselves, when we find ourselves withdrawn, self-centered, self-obsessed, whatever it, projecting all of our worries onto other people, how, when we don't meet one another this way, we withdraw from the world, that what Danusha Lemaris calls the true dwelling of the holy, we rob the world of something that that we sorely need.
Mm.
So it's so touching for me to be reminded about how the small things are the big things.
Mm. My God, there's so many things happening when, as you're talking, I was really moved by the reading of this as well. And I don't know, something strange happens. I've obviously read the source before we get here, but then when in the reading of it, I always feel like, oh my God, I didn't see that when I just read it on my own. There's something about being read to that shows me or has me feel different things. And I love this thing about politeness that you're saying, Justin, because I feel like this poem actually has me realize why anyone was ever telling me to be polite, if you know what I mean. But nobody really explained why it was important. Because I think there's the shadow of politeness and then there's the light of politeness. And speaking to one another with that holy orientation, just saying hello in the street, you could be just seeing as being polite for the sake of politeness, and that's what you should do in the world, or it could be seen for creating holiness. Like, what if the narrative for creating holiness is politeness? And what I was thinking when you were speaking about that was like, I got this urge to see what opportunities I can create for myself to feel this holiness. I got excited about creating holiness by going and saying something to someone, or just doing something kind, doing some small something that someone would really appreciate, and how the world feels like an invitation in especially these times. Because I think when things get ropey, the small kindnesses have even more weight in them. And I was yesterday, I was standing at the top of some stairs, and we were at a skate park watching my nephew have his first skateboarding lesson, and he was like delighted. Anyway, I was feeling really joyful at watching him feel his body and learn things from a very lovely person. And a woman came out and tripped over some steps. And I realized, just like you said, like in these times, you can't physically help people. I think that's one of the strange barriers. But in that moment of shock, and she really hurt her leg, my body couldn't help but catch her. Like I didn't think about it, but my body just went to kind of save her because she was heading towards the deck, and I had the buggy with Vesper in it. So I had my hands possibly free. So I let go of the buggy and just kind of lurched down so that she didn't hit the floor so hard. And somehow our bodies touched so that it didn't happen so violently, the hitting the deck kind of thing. And I really felt like, oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, and it's such a strange feeling to feel like the setup is that to help somebody when they're falling is now dangerous to them and to me, kind of thing. And I felt really kind of, but now we're talking about this, I realized that small kindness, which was me just putting my body slightly in the way so that she didn't hurt herself as badly as she did, as she would have done, is so important. Because it is really holy. That moment between us was holy, which was, I don't want you to be hurt, and I'm willing to do something, or my body just does it naturally, to lessen something for you that would be painful. And I feel like these kindnesses, these small holinesses, are really what things are made of. Like, it's really important that my body does that without me thinking about it. And the funny thing was as well, Justin, as you're reading, I was really reminded of my granddad. So my granddad used to say hello to every single person on the street. And we'd be like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Or, you know, when we were younger. But he lived through times like, you know, times when people were really, really deprived and hopeless and had very, very deep grief and struggles on their hands. And as I'm reading this, I'm realizing that probably what his kind of training ground was a training ground where small kindnesses were really all you could give, because everyone was hungry and everyone was worried and everyone had the rug pulled beneath their feet and everyone had people dying around them. And so I'm appreciating what these times have the possibility to bring out of us and what kind of legacy they create as well, of teaching us that these things really, really matter. And then when you said, you know, the small things are the big things, like when you strip everything away, and lots of things are being stripped away right now, these things feel like the opportunities that afford themselves to us. And I can feel opportunity in it rather than only restriction in it or contraction, because I can still walk along the street and say hello to someone, and I can still help where I can help. I can still do things, and I might not be able to touch people or spend time with people, but I can send things. I can wave across the street. I can use my voice. That there's all kinds of things that I'm imagining now that I can do. And I know that what I've just said is like a teensy thing. I know once I start thinking about it, there'll be all kinds of things that I can do. And I feel like that's calling to me as an invitation, especially with the narrative that the small things are the big things. And what if this is holiness?
When I, the first thing is that the you talking about your grandfather has me thinking about my grandfather, who died 26 years ago this week. So he's been really present for me. And he, one of the things I learned from him was watching the way that he loved people, just people. I don't mean, of course, he loved us and he loved, but he seemed to me to be someone who oriented to the world with an orientation of wonder at the existence of other humans at all, and delight in there being people, and simple, you know, simple delights. And he, I may have told you this before, I can't remember if I've spoken about it here in this conversation, but he ran a tiny, very, very modest clothing shop in a North London suburb all of his life. Teeny, teeny, teeny place. And when he died, hundreds and hundreds of people came to his funeral. And he wasn't famous and he wasn't well known. And he was just someone who touched a lot of people's lives. And they felt through their interactions with him, many of which would have come through what was essentially a sort of commercial transaction, that he sold things and they bought them. Nevertheless, they felt in relationship with him and touched by his presence, such that when he died, they wanted to show up. And that is so different to, I think, for many of us, the predominant culture that we've been in for a long time has taught us to be afraid of one another and to clamber on top of one another. You know, our job is to beat the other person, like to compete with them and beat them. Otherwise, we won't get what we need. And to transact with people, you know, and to treat people like they're suppliers or consumers of our whatever it is that we've got. And then we treat, and then as we do that, we treat ourselves, we treat other people like objects. Mm-hmm. And then we, inevitably, when we treat other people like objects, we treat ourselves like objects. And then this holy exchange, the true dwelling of the holy that Dinesh Lamaris talks about, vanishes from us. And we wonder why we feel so shallow and hollow and far away and frightened and self-protective. And this was the first thing that came to me when I read the poem, actually, was I was wondering about, so what is it that stops us doing this? What is it that makes it so hard for us to say thank you, or let me catch you whilst you fall, or let me pick up your groceries, or let me give you some small change from my pocket, or let me help you across the road, or all those things. The same thing that might make it difficult for us just to sit with someone we love and really listen to them and not try to imagine we have to fix something or that we're at danger because of what they're... It's the same drift all the way. Mm-hmm. Is to treat humans like we're commodities. Mm. And then when I look at my grandfather, who in the midst of his economic exchange, the thing that made him the small living that he made, clearly treated people again and again and again like they were really people. That is the thing that I think is the small thing that's the big thing. And so it extends. It's of course what you do when you're somebody bringing their luggage down the aisle. But then where it goes for me is, and yes, and all the other places. So how do I relate to my family? How often do I catch myself when I'm relating to them like they're obstacles and in my way or a problem or something? How often will I catch with my colleagues that they're people and not just a means to an end? Or how often when we walk into a coffee shop and someone is serving the coffee, like what happens, the difference between letting myself feel that the person who's making the coffee is really a whole person with a whole life and extending to that person the kind of wonder and contactfulness and invitation and kindness that I would do to somebody who I really cared about, even though I may have never have met them and may never meet them again. Even if all that happens is what happens is that mutual recognition of one consciousness meeting another kindly over the exchange of a cup of coffee whilst, you know, I'm in the queue and have got to catch a train, that those are the things I think that make a world in which we can actually live. The repeated accumulated doing that and the repeated accumulated fearful thing that we get into where we withdraw that from one another and ultimately also withdraw it for ourselves is how we make a world in which, in the midst of actual, you know, in stable times of plenty, even then when we can feel so afraid of one another, is in large part built by not just the politeness is the action that you might take, but the care is that from within with which we respond to one another that then leads to saying thank you or whatever it is. Those tiny things are giant in themselves because they're the place that holiness dwells, but they're giant in the sense that they build a life for us and for the people around us.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, Justin, when you said all of that, the one thing that stands out for me particularly is this thing where when we aren't experiencing the thing that we need, there is a chance that we might give it instead of wanting it and waiting for it. So there is a way of wondering about life where if I'm feeling lonely, instead of waiting for someone to come and knock on my door, I can knock on someone else's door. Or where I'm feeling disconnected, instead of expecting people to come and find me, I could go and find them. So to bring the very thing that I'm looking for to the world, to other people, because the cool thing is about being human is that reciprocity is the nature of things. So when I bring it, I receive it. So when I create, when I make moves to create holiness, seemingly for other people, I'm in receipt of the holiness myself. So I know that a practice of going out and saying hello to some people and asking how they are, or maybe knocking on some neighbors' doors and just saying hello, just for no reason whatsoever, it might look like it's only me worrying about them or caring about them or something. But actually it's in service of myself, you know, as well, that we both receive from these things. And so I feel like I want to be I want to be conscious of what I'm feeling in these times and respond to it, not from a position of lack, but from a position of abundance, where I can create for myself and for other people, and it's not like a one-way street. To feel like a practice of creating holiness in this way is such a beautiful invitation to my own well-being, as well as everyone else's too. Because I know how it feels when someone knocks on the door and just said, "Oh, hi, I've got a spare pumpkin. Do you want it?" Or whatever they, you know, or somebody puts on our WhatsApp group, "Oh, I've got too many cucumbers and Vespa really likes cucumbers." And I say, "Oh, yes, please can have a cucumber." I feel great because somebody bought a cucumber that I can have. And they feel great because they've given us a cucumber. And I feel like this mutuality thing only has to start in one place. It doesn't have to start in both places. And that feels really like I can hold my life in my hands. Because I think the tendency at the moment is to feel like, because it's true, lots of things are being done outside of my power, you know, against my will, if you like. Like I could be in the story that I'm being told I need to stay indoors and I'm being told I have to do this and have to do that. And in some ways that's absolutely true, but that doesn't determine what I actually do with my life. That doesn't tell me how to live. That doesn't get to have that power. It has the power to maybe restrict my movements in some way, but it doesn't get to change my way of being in the world. Or maybe it does, but in a way that's life-giving rather than diminishing to me.
This way that you're drawing our attention to, again, to receiving ourselves and receiving our lives, keeps on reminding me that we are, we've talked about parts of ourselves before in this conversation, that is the way that we are many, and that how I am in the world, how I relate to other people is also very, very closely related. What I'm making by the way I am in the world, it's not just what other people receive, it's what I receive, it's what all the constituent parts of me receive. And so there's a way in which I think you're pointing into one of these great human paradoxes, that very often we act in a way that brings about the very thing that we most want not to happen by the way that we, so when I feel lonely and I fall into the trap of, well, now what I need to do is feel resentful and angry about all the people who aren't reaching out to me, and in doing so, withdrawing contact from myself and from them, that actually the fruitful path for everyone, the holy path, the sacred path, to draw on small kindnesses, is to extend right into the world exactly, I'm just saying back what you said, exactly what we long for, exactly the quality, because the extraordinary thing about it is that in doing that we are already starting to bathe our own inner world of the parts of us is starting to get bathed in that quality which is most called for. So does that not only enables us to extend ourselves towards others, it enables us to extend ourselves towards ourselves. Which is why I think this thing about I was listening yesterday to a song by Yes called Owner of a Lonely Heart, and it has this line in it which really caught me yesterday, which is you are the moves you make and you are the steps you take. Like, we become how we relate. And given that we are largely relational beings, what it is to be in human, to be a human, we become how we relate. And I think that's the genius and gift and kindness of Danisha Lemeris's poem, is to say we don't want that world of harshness to ourselves and to one another. What we long for is the really simple recognition that there is a life here that's worth something.
Yeah.
And we make it not by waiting for it, but by bringing it about. Like, we are the ones who get to bring about step by step the kind of relational field that we long for. And of course, what you said about reciprocity is that kind of reciprocity, I think, awakens reciprocity in others. We awaken it in ourselves and it awakens it. And then it's no surprise that people start to also relate back to us with that kind of mutuality and kindness.
Yeah.
And it's most hard to get to when we're afraid. So what an ordinary and extraordinary conversation to be in, I think. Now I'm aware that we've reached that time when it's time for us to stop. So I think we should say thank you to you, Lizzie, and thank you to everyone for being with us and for the many people who have found their way to us recently. We welcome you here, and for all the people who've been with us for ages and ages, we welcome you here too. And all being well, we will speak to you from lockdown England next Sunday at 9 o'clock UK time. We'll really look forward to being with you.
Thank you everybody for being here. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks. Bye.